Now let's continue on. We're going to cover two things that they have overlooked, or at least one of them they cannot deal with, and the other one they will deal with. Okay? Now, just to update two things. Number one, I was told that today on the news they said the seventh billion person has been born. Okay? Number two, what's the latest update in evolution? Well, we know that they want to go post-evolution and do the manipulating so man will be made in whatever image they desire. But what is the latest theory in evolution? The coupling of aliens from space with evolution to say that space aliens, genetically modified Neanderthals, to become modern man. And they fail to realize that today on this earth, you have the whole variety of mankind in every situation of development, all the way from Neanderthal cave dwellers to naked people, barbarians, tall people, short people around the world. So to go ahead and say we evolved from here to there to the other, then why do we still have the unevolved? So what they want to do with the science that they have is to modify human beings and make them better. Now, all of this science that we have today that we're reading about here is predicated on evolution, the superiority of man, and that there is no God. All of it's predicated on that. And the first thing that they do not understand, let's come back here to Genesis, the first chapter. God made all life after its kind, and he said over and over again, of the fish, of the birds, of the livestock, of the wild beasts, after its kind. And human beings after their kind. And here is, we've come to this verse many, many times. Isn't it interesting how that all the verses that we have used many times in the past, now we need to use again in understanding what's happening in the world and what men are doing and what the future holds. Verse 26, Genesis 1. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. We are made after the likeness of God, and the image that we have is a reflection of the image of God himself as a person. And we can just say right here, the whole plan of God is God's transhumanism, and we'll cover that at a later date, but we'll just a little preview. So that we can become after his kind in his family. And that God put it in human beings to realize that their potential is so much greater than what they are. It's in every human being. That's why they have religions and believe in afterlife. After our likeness, that means all the attributes of thinking, emotion, and all of this comes from God. And then he gave us the whole earth. Verse 27, God created man in his own image, and the image of God created, he created him. He created them male and female. And Genesis 5:1 says, and he called their name Adam. Oh, that's Genesis 5:2. Okay? Mr. and Mrs. Adam. Now, I don't know what he said with that first wedding ceremony. But God married them. I don't know if he said, I pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Adam. Now, Everything that we're talking about, and we'll come to this a little later, we won't get into it this time. Everything we're talking about is centered on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the reason that God, because someone asked the question, well, why didn't God put the knowledge of the tree of good and evil and the tree of life in two remote corners of the Garden of Eden? That way they may not have found it and we wouldn't be like we are today. All right. God put them in the center of the garden because the two choices between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life are central to our existence and our relationship with God. Central to it. Every human being in his life, whether wherever he has come from, whoever his parents are confronted with choices of good and evil, and God has set those before us. And we have to choose what is right and choose to love God. Now, we've covered this in many sermons, so I'm just going to summarize it here. After Adam and Eve sinned under the temptation of Satan, the devil. Now, they had to choose which God they would serve. And Satan always comes along and says, follow me, and you can become like God. But what he means with that statement is, since he always wanted to become God, you will become like me. And I will give you a benefit. And we see that in all the things that we have here. Well, let's take care of all the sickness in the world through all of these genetics. The Bible says, repent and believe God, and he will take care of those things. See? So the benefit that comes from Satan the devil is good when viewed without the perspective of God. So everything gets down to that. So the number one thing that they completely overlook concerning human beings and this transhumanism is this. God changed the nature of human beings to what we call carnal nature, the carnal mind, cut off from God, and they also have in them the law of death. You will die. So this is what the transhumanists are trying to find in the quantum biological investigation that they are doing, is can we find the gene of death? And can we extend that so we reach immortality? And as they propose, by between 2030 and 2050. Now, how far will it go? We don't know. But they have not yet dealt with the fact of the law of sin and death, especially the law of sin. Now, since it is genetic because it's passed on, let's come here to Romans, the fifth chapter, so we will see that the law of death is genetic because of sin. Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans 5, let's turn there, and this will be a great relief to all women, because in 2 Timothy it says that the woman was deceived, and she sinned, but they don't interpret it rightly, because the woman was deceived, but so was Adam by knowledgeable choice. So Adam could have said, no, Eve, put the fruit down. God says, don't touch it. Don't even think about eating it. So the full responsibility fell on Adam because he obeyed the voice of his wife instead of God. Now, verse 12, Romans 5. Here's how Paul explains it. And this is what they're trying to overcome, but they're not able to account for it. Verse 12, therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now, this is after the sin of Satan and the angels. We'll get to that later. and by the means of sin came death. We all inherited the death gene. Every one of us. And in this way, death passed into. Now the Greek there is eis. It means into. Being part of your being. Death passed into all mankind. And it is for this reason that all have sinned. Because you have a nature of death and a carnal mind, there is no way that you even by yourself can avoid sinning. You cannot do it. Look at little children. What did David say in one of the Psalms? O Lord, remember not my sins of youth. What were they? Well, look how you grew up. Maybe those were some of the same sins that David had. Okay? Don't know. But all have the law of sin and death in them, and they cannot counter that. Yes, before the flood, they lived many hundreds of years, but as we have covered, in Genesis 6, God says man is only going to live to be 120 years. And after the flood, we see that the age comes down, 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 down. Okay? Moses died at 120 years. Okay? Joshua at 110. Joseph at 110. I think it was Jacob died, I think, 147. Somewhere there. Just off the top of my head, I don't recall exactly, but I think that that's how old he was. Now today, you know, when they conceived Social Security, they figured everyone would die right after 65. So they said, okay, we'll start paying you when you're 65. Okay. And lo and behold, that was a trap. See, there's a way that seems right to a man. The ends thereof are the ways of death. Now they're stuck with a conundrum. How are you going to pay for it? With no money. They're not. See? Way that seems right to a man, the law of sin and death. Good and evil. They have not accounted for that. So when they start their transhumanism, they start out with the egg and the sperm, and they're able to splice out genes and splice in genes. Now, since your donor is anonymous, and they have also done this in England recently, they have created a human being with two female parents, using part of the genes from one woman and part of the genes from another woman, and then a male sperm. Now, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but is this person going to have a split personality? you know, someone walk up, oh, that's a nice child, but why is one side of its face different from the other side of its face, you know? You don't know what's going to happen. These things are at a high level, and they're doing it everywhere, in all nations, with government funding, with grants to universities. Okay. What's the other one that they have forgotten? What's the other one that they have forgotten? Satan, the devil. They've already rejected God. Okay. Now, let's look at how Satan is with the world. Let's come here to Luke, the fourth chapter. Now, along this line, Luke, the fourth chapter, along this line, some of the scientists are beginning to understand that behind physical human beings and all matter is spirit. Now, that agrees with Scripture. Hebrews 11 tells us that by faith we know that the worlds were made by things not seen. And they get down to the matter smaller and 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 smaller. And they still haven't found what life is. Now, here's something they have not accounted for. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. See, they reject verse 4. Let's read verse 4, Luke the 4th chapter and verse 4. When he was being tempted, the whole of man is this, is what Jesus was saying to Satan. And Satan comes along with a benefit. He said, turn this rock into bread. He could do that. I mean, later he fed the 5,000, the 4,000, and the 5,000, correct? Yes. But if he had done that at Satan's command, he would have obeyed Satan. Now, Satan has always wanted to be God. So if he could get Jesus to worship him just once, he then would become God in his own mind. So Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's the central thing of all human beings. That's what we are to do. And where is the whole word of God contained in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, all right? Verse 5, then the devil led him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now that's kind of high tech, isn't it? Yes, indeed. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this authority and the glory of them all, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I desire. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? Who rules this world? Men think that they do. No, they don't. Satan does, and his demons do. You want to know what's wrong with human politics today? That's it, right there. Revolutions aren't going to solve it. Changing a government isn't going to solve it. Voting isn't going to solve it because they have not accounted for human nature, and human nature is corrupted by Satan the devil, and no one gets into office unless Satan allows it. Just that simple. And if you don't believe me, just watch the world news and see how marvelous all these world leaders really are, and how many problems that they can solve, how wonderfully that they love each other and get along. Okay? Never happened. Now notice verse 7. Therefore, if you will worship me in my presence, and have a little star there in the margin, which means worship me as God, because that's been his desire, all things shall be yours. Isn't that what Satan is telling all of this transhumanism thing? Everything can be yours. You can make yourself and your offspring what you want them to be. Now, there are a lot of other things that can get into it, okay? So what we have to do, we have to be aware of Satan's devices. And what we're seeing in all of this is Satan's activity. Now, how many have seen the History Channel, the Third Reich, and the occult? Okay. Where did a lot of that knowledge come from? They know it came from occultism. God allowed it to a certain level, because what is happening now, God has held Satan back from that. He must go to God, Job the first chapter, and ask God if he can do what he wants to do. And he can't do any more than God tells him he can do. So the time has come now that God has given Satan the permission to give the technology to unlock a lot of the things concerning life. And that agrees with Genesis 11. That now anything they imagine to do, they will do. And under the inspiration of Satan the devil, all of this technology is blossoming forth. And the reason it's coming at the end of the age is because, just like before the flood, man could only take it so long until God had to destroy all life. This final generation, however long it's going to be, can only handle so much, and God must intervene and stop it. Otherwise, there will be no flesh saved alive on the earth. Okay? And here is the power behind it. Satan the devil. Now let's come to 2 Corinthians. Now let's understand what we have to be in this situation. We have to be alert to everything that Satan is doing. And just because something seems right and good to human beings does not necessarily mean that it is. Okay. Now let's pick it up here in verse 11. Now this had to do with the conduct of a man that they had to put out of the church and forgive him when he repented and brought him back. So Paul is writing them what they have to do. Chapter 2, verse 11. Okay. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. So he's writing them, so what they have to do, so Satan can't come along and take advantage another way. Verse 11, so that we may not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Now that's what we have to be alert to today. His schemes are the same, to destroy mankind. His schemes are the same, to get people into sin. His schemes are the same, to be in rebellion against God, worship Satan the devil, and destroy mankind through destroying his very being that he hates. Man made in the image of God. That's his goal. And he's going to come along with a lot of benefits first. Then the final coup de grace is going to come after they've all been deceived. All right, let's come here to chapter 4. Just across the page, chapter 4. And verse 4. In whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Question. Do the scientists doing all of these things believe in God? No. Who are they following? Satan the devil. Have they been blinded? Yes. Do they think that they are being enlightened? Yes. Just exactly like Satan told Adam and Eve, if you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open. See? They have not accounted for it since they reject God. These people are in the perfect position when they're looking for spirit to find Satan the devil, and that's what Satan wants. All right, let's read on here. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So they have been blinded. It says there, as we read last week in Revelation 13, that the whole world worships Satan the devil. And there are a lot of people who think they're worshiping God, but they're not. See, so it gets back to, are we to love God and keep his commandments? Yes. What is the thing that keeps us on the track? God's Spirit, his Sabbath, his holy days. And you can see that by watching the frenzy of the holidays. And I've seen it increase every year. They magnify Halloween. More and more people get into it. And now this is nothing against women, but analyze all the holidays of the world and what is the main feature toward women and emotion. And what happens? All of the men are just like Adam. Follow along. Okay? 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 All right. So here is how, let's come to chapter 11. Here is how Satan appears to them. Now, we're not talking about in a religious sense yet. We are talking about how he will appear. Okay? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Now that is in a religious sense. Can you do this in the sense of technology? Can you do this in the sense of political law? Yes, you can. I've got a better plan. Look at all of the 11 that are running for president of the United States, supposedly Republicans. Everyone's got a plan. The closest one that has something that may have God in it is Michelle Bachmann. And she is the one who can't understand why people can't understand her. See? No one else has anything. So do you think they're going to solve the problems of America by electing any of them? They may improve it a little bit for a while. There may be a reprieve for a while. But nothing's going to change. Now here is how Satan manifests himself. And it is no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. But he is the minister of darkness. Now just think for a minute how I don't know if I could even get myself in the frame of mind, but how exalted some of these scientists feel when they have cloned an animal, when they have successfully transferred genes. And all of that is lawlessness. But it is enlightenment to them. Satan comes as an angel of light in many different forms. And his ultimate, you see, one of his altars is not religious. One of his altars is scientific. He has scientific altar, he has political altar, and he has religious altar. And they all come and worship him. The scientific community worships their minds. Now they have the means to do things. All right? Let's see what else that Satan is doing. Let's come here to 2 Peter, the 5th chapter. A few pages back, 2 Peter, or 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, rather. There are only three chapters in 2 Peter. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Okay? Now, here's why we need the Word of God. Here's why we need the Spirit of God within us. Here is why we need to study the Word of God so we know the Word of God. Here's why we need to continually have our lives walking in the way that God wants us to, with the attitude that God wants us to have. See? Right here. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. In the same manner, you younger men, be subject to the older men, and all of you be subject to one another. Don't get all lifted up in grandiose schemes, okay? Being clothed with humility, because God sets himself against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And if there's any one thing we need, is the grace of God in everything that we do. And when you come to understand it, and I'm going to give a sermon on it here pretty quickly, you've heard it in when we quote Isaiah 28, that how you understand the Bible is precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Well, there's a phrase in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, which is that we receive from Christ grace upon grace. So you put the first three together with the grace upon grace, and that's what the gospel is all about. And how that, in our relationship with God, everything that he does in dealing with us is through his grace, including keeping the commandments of God, as we covered in the series, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping. He doesn't want us to keep it in the letter of the law. He wants us to keep it in the spirit of the law. And that takes a conversion within, you see. This is what Peter is talking about here, see. Verse 7. He gives grace to the humble. Now, verse 6. Be humble, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Don't get lifted up in anything. Don't get lifted up in grandiose things. No. I mean, think of all the men that God has used. And I think it comes to mind on William Tyndale, how God used William Tyndale to translate the Bible from Hebrew, the Old Testament, and Greek into the New Testament, and how he's just neglected. The most important man in bringing the English Bible that God has used. And even to this day, everything in the English Bible reflects what that man does. And in the history of the Bible that I was watching on the scriptorium, he was given like about 10 minutes. Now, if you do not have the book, not the book, but the DVD, The Indestructible Book, that's about the life of William Tyndale, you ask for it. We'll send it to you. Because that really tells you how God used that one man who spoke 7 languages fluently and could carry on a conversation and switch from language to language without skipping a beat, and it sounded just like a native. If any man was prepared to do that, it was William Tyndale. And I'll tell you this, when you watch it, you will not have a dry eye. It is so moving. And he never thought about himself. He was always thinking on God and his word. And he was the first one to put commentary in the Bible to explain how to understand the Bible. And in watching it, it just gave a verification why we have the 14 rules of Bible study. It's not because we know anything better than anybody else, but that's what the Bible tells us. Okay, verse 7, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So regardless of your trial, don't think that God has abandoned you and left you. He has not. See? Because when you're in that position, when you have difficulties and troubles, guess who is going to be Johnny on the spot? Satan the devil. This is what we have to be on guard against in this age. So be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is prowling about as a roaring lion, seeking anyone he may devour. He's got the world worshiping him. Who does he want? Those who worship God. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. You can't do it with your own devices, because he's greater than your own devices. Knowing that the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren who are in the world. Now, Peter gives us light at the end of the tunnel of a trial. And when you get out to the end of the tunnel, look back and think how many times God has dealt with you, opened the door, answered your prayer, given you grace and favor, worked things out which in some cases were only thoughts in your mind. Right? So when you come through that trial, out through the end of the tunnel, then look back and see what God has done for you, and you will be amazed. Okay. That the same afflictions are being fulfilled among your brethren who are in the world. Now may the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, the ultimate purpose of human life, to be given eternal life God's way. Satan can never give eternal life. He may try to extend it, but he cannot overcome the decree of God, of the law of sin and death. Satan may promise a lot of things, but he cannot deliver. It is all a deception. Now notice, after you have suffered a little while, and you look back through the trials you go through, and you see these things, when you yield to God, help develop the love of God and character that God wants you to have, which is necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. Himself, now notice this, himself perfect you. Now hold your place here and come back to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Very last verse. We've been there before, but here's the place to put it in again. Okay? Verse 48, Matthew 5. Compare that right here with 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. Okay? Matthew 5, verse 48. Therefore you shall be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Now notice who's going to do that. Here Jesus didn't tell us who was going to do it. But if we're going to be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect, who has to do it? God the Father. Okay? So let's read verse 10 again, 1 Peter 5, with this in mind. Now may the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, himself perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now that's quite a promise, isn't it? Now we're going to need to claim these promises that we have covered here as God has shown us and given to us as we look out in the world and see what is happening. Now, there's almost an endless number of sermons to give on transhumanism, so I'll try and keep it below 50 if I can. No. Well, we'll cover it adequately. But you go online. Did you know that there are even Mormon transhumanists? Hey, it's everywhere. I hope to make you aware of it. Well, this is just one step along the way. Now, in closing, I just want to mention one thing here. Okay? One thing. And I'll have to cover some of this next time. Let's just give a little information. Now, it was 4 years ago. I gave two sermons, and Jim was running the camera right here. We were doing it for the Feast of Tabernacles. And I took, what was it, day 3 and 4, and I did a series of those two sermons from the book by Raymond Kurzweil on singularity, the singularity is near. And I was going through it, and I was reading and reading and reading, and we get done, take a break like we normally do, and I said, boy, Jim, I'm just reading this. I hope, you know, people don't get upset about it, but I think this is important. We've got to read it. Remember that? So I ended up doing two sermons, and it was so much reading, I sent out a packet to everyone because at that time our mailing list was low enough so we could send it out of the pages that I quoted. Well, the other day I asked, because you read in the things here, singularity, all right? So I asked Ron to do a little research for me. Guess what Raymond Kurzweil is up to now? Singularity University in Silicon Valley. And guess who is there with him? This Dave Evans from Cisco. And all of the great minds in Silicon Valley. This is their goal, to bring men into singularity with their plan through machines, technology, and transhumanism. Because Raymond Kurzweil's goal is to live forever. That's what they're trying to find. The secret of how to live forever. So I've got a whole thing on singularity, their goals, their university. I'll cover some of that here the next time. So we'll call it quits for today. It's time to end. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.